But Dad, isn't it time for illegal Hammond bass?
But bro, where's the banjo?
Some sports shows try to give you hot takes, but only one can give you a big old piece of hot ham. Welcome to Illegal Ham to the Face. Talking all Cleveland sports and, of course, food on our semi-famous Fat Boy Thursday. Here are your hosts, Fatty and Big Bri.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome into a special Thursday of Illegal Ham to the Face. We got the Cavs game going on as we speak, as I'm getting alerts from my freaking computer. I love every minute of it. What is going on, Big Belly?
Hey, man. How you doing?
I am exhausted, but I'm doing okay. Going to have a quick show tonight.
Yeah.
So we can watch the Cavs game, which is going on. I believe tip-off has just happened. So we're getting ready to watch the Cavs here a little bit, Bri, but we're going to skip shout-outs tonight. We're just going to say thank you, Harold Q and Lake Erie APA. We also need to explain to everybody that the kennels are full again at City Dogs Cleveland. Please go adopt. We had our dog last week, Hutch, got adopted. One of the longest ones there, so that's great news to hear. Tell Ashley I said hello, because I see you
peeking over here.
How's she doing?
Yeah, good. She's climbing up in the attic now, so
you can't let her do that stuff.
That's what I told her, but she was insisting on it, so there she goes.
Oh boy, that's not good.
She's in the nesting phase. I caught her at 3:30 in the morning on Saturday cleaning out the refrigerator.
Oh boy,
3:30 in the morning, nothing better to do.
She's just getting ready, bud. That's how it works, buddy.
That's what I understand.
It's all right. You'll understand when it's time, when it's go time, when it's doomsday. Here we go. All hell's breaking loose on the Loveless front.
Hey, can I give a quick shout out? This is per my mom. So I told her I would give a shout out to my cousin, Lauren, who's going to be in Daytona Beach this weekend for the national competition for gymnastics. So she is a junior at Brunswick High School, and she made it to nationals. So we're all very proud and excited for her. So wish her the best of luck. And the other one I have is for my niece, Juliet June, JJ, turned 3 this past weekend. So I figured I'd better shout her out. So I'm sorry. They're quick ones, we're ready to go now. I see the Cavs. 6 minutes is what the timer says till tip-off.
Okay. Well, I just got to say congratulations on doing nationals. That's awesome, man.
She's very talented. I don't know if she'll continue it in college, but she's very good.
Now,
surprisingly, somebody in the family is flexible. I didn't get that gene. So she's proof that at least one person in our family is flexible.
That somebody can actually bend over and tie their shoes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There it is. I mean, I hyperventilate sometimes when I go down there to tie my shoes. I take one deep breath and then I gasp and start to black out a little bit and I come right back up.
Never again with shoelaces. They're not your friend.
Hey, they were your friend when you're like 7, when you just like you learned how to tie them, and ever since then it's like nope. Even when you get dress shoes now, I look at dress shoes like when we go to a wedding, I'm like no, we're not tying these, give me some slip-ons.
I don't know if it's the old man in me coming out, but suddenly a Velcro shoe sounds pretty appealing.
Next thing you know, Bri, you're gonna have a shoehorn and everything. You're just gonna be like popping them on 1 foot by 1 foot, and there you go.
That's right. That's the plan. The ultimate dream.
All right. So our show tonight, we're going to talk a little Cavs, little guards. We're really not going to get into the Browns tonight because there really isn't that much news going on with Browns. We'll deal with it next week when we come back. But we'll do quick guards, quick Cavs, our Fat Boy Thursday, and our top three, and then we'll be out here so we can watch the game. So we will start off the show like we always do with our trivia. Bri, it is your turn for trivia, correct?
Yep, that's right. All right,
let me play the sounder and let's get this show started. Like I said, our trivia is always brought to you by City Dogs Cleveland. Please go adopt, donate, volunteer, whatever you can do to help out. They're definitely looking for volunteers too. If you got some time where you'd like to take some dogs for a walk, go down there, help volunteer, do whatever you can to help out City Dogs Cleveland. All right, Brian, what do you got for me tonight, buddy?
Okay, so we got a Cavs one for you. And it's gettable. So LeBron, as you can imagine, is the franchise leader in a bunch of different categories. So the one I'm looking for, LeBron has 849 games as a Cleveland Cavalier. So that's first all time. So give me who's number two. And if you want some bonus points, there's one guy in the top five who's an active player for the Cavs. So give me number two and give me the active player in the top five for games played for your Cavs.
All right. Here's Justin chiming in. Said, screw that court jester. But, Bry, he did pick the Cavs in six. So I do got to give him that.
Did he really?
Yeah, wow. So did I, dude. I picked the Cavs in six, too. I thought they were going to pull out game one. I was all sorts of excited. Oh. I had a nice parlay bet. I hit, Bry, for the Cavs. I hit all my parlay except for the Cavs money line. I had a Coro over 8 points. He got it done in like the first 5 minutes. I had
just missed. Just missed on that Cavs money line, too.
Just missed on that Cavs money line by 20-some odd points.
All right, so to show you where my confidence level was, what was the spread? 12 and a half for game one? Well, I was like
11. I had 11.
11 and a half. Yeah, you're right. And so I'm like, man, I think the Boston's going to win, but I can't do anything. I can't put any money against my Cavs. So what I do, I took the highest point amount that they would offer me, which is 20 and a half points. And I said, all right. Even though they're terrible odds, give me some action. Let me put a couple bucks on the Cavs. Just covering 20 and a half. They didn't do it. So I thought about kind of doing the same thing tonight. But all right, we're underway now.
All right, well, let's get this show going. Let me play our Cleveland headlines drop, and we'll get into it. All right, so your Cleveland headlines, Bryce, since the last time that we talked, the Cavs ended up having to play Game 7, ended up winning that Game 7 with Donovan Mitchell going back-to-back of 50 and a 39, most points in a 6-7 game since Allen Iverson, I think it was, back in the day. But they did get past the Orlando Magic only to play Boston, and then we got trounced by Boston. But the game was a close game until the third quarter, and then it seemed like the fourth quarter, just Boston just went off. What are your reactions, first off, to like the Magic ending game seven and then going into the Celtics, bud?
Yeah, let's focus on the positives. Let's go back in time a little bit to where we were excited about the Cavs, and games five, six, and seven were so much fun to watch, like I was saying last time. And I just had a blast rooting them on, even though, yeah, maybe the opponent wasn't the greatest. But Donovan Mitchell put the team on his back. And, you know, we're probably half the team that we are if he's not on it. So he was Superman. And he willed us to win. And I kind of have a funny timeline for the game seven. We went out, we did some running around, and my wife was like, all right, if you really want to go to the bar to watch the game, I was like, game seven, that'd be fun too. She's like, I don't want to go and watch the entire thing, so maybe we can go for like the second half, or, you know, maybe for an hour and a half or something. So I'm like, all right, that's fine. So we went and run around, we did our shopping, and we were at the grocery store, and I'm watching the game on my phone as I'm pushing the cart around, and the Cavs are down by 8, 10, 12. By the time we checked out, it was 12. We were down 12. So at that point, I'm disgusted. I'm like, all right, you know, I'm shutting off the radio. I'm shutting off the phone. I'll see what the score is when I get home, and then that'll determine if I go out for the game. And so by the time I get home, it was 14, 16, and then up to 18 eventually. And I'm like, all right, that's it. I'm just watching the rest of the game at home rather than going out. And so It was a bad call on my part, but man, it was fun watching the comeback. And you know, guys like Sam Merrill having a hand in it, Caris LeVert playing like the guy that we know he should. And yeah, Morris and you know, there's Okoro hitting a three now. So yeah, your guys stepping up that you need to in game sevens, and especially it helps when you're at home. You know, what do you always hear about the role players stepping up at home? And they did. And so much fun to see that come back, just kind of slowly trickle. And then, you know, I went outside and I did some yard work because I think we were still down by maybe 12 or 11 at halftime. And then we just had a surge at the beginning of the third quarter and cut it to like four. And so I was so excited to watch it from there on out. And who would have thunk that we'd have won the game by double digits when we were down 18. But yeah, we had that firepower, and yeah, it was just, you know, not even thinking about Boston. I know the crowd was chanting, "We want Boston." I wasn't even thinking about Boston at that time. I was just enjoying it for what it was. And it was the most enjoyable game of the season for me.
Yeah. So for all of you that don't know, like right now, Jared Allen is out again. And I want to give this because, Bri, I got this little nug today while I was talking to some people. And Jared Allen, for as much as everybody is calling him soft now because it's just bruised ribs, guys, it ain't just bruised ribs. He has got a cracked rib. He cannot lift his hands over top his head. They tried to warm him up for game seven. He could barely run up and down the court without just slugging around. He is seriously hurt. And for everybody calling that man soft, he has played 77 out of the 82 games. He just missed the first five games of the year when he had his little ankle issue. That's it. That man's been your Iron Man throughout the rest of this year. So if he's not playing, he is seriously, seriously hurt. Now, the one that's hurting us right now is Dean Wade not being able to go and play. I think he'd be a great matchup for Boston, what we got tonight. But, Brian, like you said, game seven, you know, that was such a magical time because you're sitting there watching the first half. It was a tale of two halves. First half, it was like, look at this garbage. And then the second half, they just completely shut down Baquero. They shut down both Walkers. I mean, it was a sight to see. And then they just took off. I think they came out in the third quarter on like, what was it, an 18-2 run or something like that. And then they just never looked back. And it was coasting from there. But we did find out with this team, though, no matter how good Donovan Mitchell is, we need the supporting cast to win these games. You need 12 points from LeVert. You need 15 points from Merrill. You need, like, it's not just Donovan. You need the other guys. And the one that has not shown up yet that we paid a lot of money to, Bri, and I like him because he's my little chubby brother, George Niang. Oh, my Lord. I feel so bad. Like, when I see him come in there, you know what he reminds me of, Guy? He reminds me of the one guy you're playing at the rec league, and he just comes in. He's got the goggles on, the sweatband, both wristbands on, and he just comes in, and he starts throwing dimes from nowhere. And you're like, look at this guy. Like, he just looked like he walked out of a van 2 seconds ago, and he's just – but he's not even showing up, man. They even sat him out to put in that Marcus Morris and Tristan Thompson. Like, yeah, that's how bad it is right now. But right now, Brian, what's the score we got? You got an eye on it. I do not.
I don't know if you want to know. It's on a commercial. It's either 15-6 or 15-4, and you can guess who's on top.
It's got to be 15 to. Well, yeah, never mind. And Cavs need a big man in the paint. I think the one thing they really need out of this series with the Celtics, Bri, there's two things they need. They need to start hitting their outside shots. Which, watching Game One, Bri, they couldn't buy a bucket from outside. And number two, Mobley's got to get down low and start working down low. Him being hesitant and trying to kick out and not taking the little bunnies that are right in front of him, I want him to go elbow deep in that rim and just start working down low. They need to start working the inside, then work outside. They need to start working that way, driving in, kicking out later, because if they start attacking this team, I think they could win if they attack this team through the middle.
I mean, I just I see these two teams and Like, we need our A-plus game, and they need to be playing their C-plus game, I think, just with the firepower. Like, I look at Derek White and him going off, and he just hit a three. 14-5, sorry. And, like, he would be our second-best player, no doubt about it, at this point. And he's, like, their third or fourth. When Porzingis is healthy, he's their fourth option. And I think the talent – I don't necessarily think their talent is so much better than ours, but they're just – they're comfortable in this environment. It's very clear. I mean, my opinion, even though we just won a series, my opinion of the Cavs hasn't really changed a whole lot.
I still think
the lights are too bright for them. I mean, how else do you explain Darius Garland can't do buku in the playoffs? He can't do anything. Is he that bad? Is Darius Garland that bad? He's a max player for us. And for everybody, I have to hear it for 12 months out of the year how Deshaun Watson is the worst contract in sports. I think Darius Garland might be the worst contract in Cleveland right now. I don't know if you can get anything for him, and he's a max player. I mean, who's going to want to take on, you know, a guy who can't carry a team? I mean, not even for a game can he carry a team. You know, we need him to step up. If Mitchell has an off night, he can't do it. He can't score. And I say that, he just scored a bucket. You know, when was the last time he scored 25 points?
Keep talking shit about him.
Right? When was the last time he scored 25 points? I mean, we can't score with Boston because Darius Garland can't score. He doesn't have the confidence to do it or whatever. Maybe he's just not that great of a player. Evan Mobley is not a scorer. So you have one score, your top, and Jared Allen, even if he's healthy, I don't think the Jared Allen injury affects us at all, really. Because I think if Jared Allen was healthy, we beat the Magic. If Jared Allen is healthy, we probably, you know, maybe we lose by 18 points rather than 25 points in game one. But, yeah, I don't think it really God bless you. I don't think it really affects us. You know, Evan Mobley should be – they have, Cornette and Al Horford, two big slow dudes.
Like, they had Evan Horford on Isaac Okoro game one. Like, that's who he was defending was Okoro.
Evan Mobley's five times the athlete of those guys, so much quicker. He needs to take advantage of it, but he can't. You know, will time give him that confidence? Will you know, there he is getting a dunk. I mean, that's all he kind of does is just dunk the ball. That's how he scores his points from within 5 feet. He's turned into Jared Allen, to be honest. And you know, he can't score outside of 5 or 7 feet.
Oh god, because that's the thing that pisses me off, right? Because there's many times in that one game where they do that little soft pick and roll where he's about around a free throw line, and they bite on it. All you gotta do is just turn around, fake the pick and roll, turn around and shoot a jumper right there. Like, you have that in your game. You have that jumper.
He just had a nice move there. Cut it to three.
All right.
Just my guy, Evan Mobley. He was aggressive with it, and he took it right at Al Horford. I don't know if I'm allowed to be giving play-by-play
do whatever you want. It's our show.
I don't think anybody's too worried about us. But, yeah, he was aggressive with the ball. Al Horford sagging off him. He just attacked him, the foul line. He went right at him. And he kind of did a spin move, put his back into him, and then a little baby hook, and he got it. And I mean, that's the Evan Mobley we need. We need somebody to be aggressive. Between him and Garland, we need one of them to be aggressive. Even if Garland goes 2 of 20, that's the only way we're going to win a game in this series, is if Mobley and Garland are aggressive and they score the ball. I mean, if they're passive and they just pass the ball, pass the ball, pass the ball, we're going to lose. No doubt about it. If they're aggressive and they suck, we're going to lose. The only chance we have is if they're aggressive and they start hitting their shots.
Yeah, the one thing that I started playing out in my mind, because Strus really hasn't shown up so far in the playoffs. He's had a couple of moments, but, you know, like, I even thought about today, Bri, just for shits and giggles, you might as well just throw out, if you're going to run at this team, throw out LeVert, Garland and Mitchell, all right there. All three can drive. All three can create shots for each other and just wreak havoc with those three guys and let Mobley stay in the middle and then put out whatever, or Coro and their best guy or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. But I mean, I would be honestly right now, I'd be playing LeVert a lot more, and I would tell LeVert and I would tell Mitchell and I'd tell Garland, go drive, do whatever you got to do. Just attack. Don't worry about anything else. Just attack and see where it ends up. Because I think if you can get Boston in foul trouble, they're not super deep on the bench, but it's just, you got the two-headed monster. The way Boston plays is the way that when we went on that 18-2 magical run in January, where we all got super excited, we were playing like Boston because it was a lot of passing. It was playing as a team, Bri. And right now, I just don't feel that with this. And I don't know if it's JB Bickerstaff, which here's another one. Justice said, if they don't make it past the second round, is it good enough to keep the coach? Is one series good enough to keep JB Bickerstaff?
If you're asking me, I would say probably not. No,
I think it depends on this series and how this series turns out.
Right, sure, yeah. If we go to 7 games, then yeah, we can have a discussion. Even if we go to 6 games and they compete in the rest of them, we can have that discussion. But you know, my big fear is JB's going to be the scapegoat. And people are going to, the front office is going to say, and fans are going to buy into, like, okay, let's just change the coach and we're good. I mean, we're playing one extreme to the other. Like, in this round, we're playing the best team in the East. And the last round, we played the number 8, basically the 8th best team in the East, I think. I think if Philadelphia is healthy and if Miami's healthy, they're better than the Magic. So, I mean, what I'm seeing is you're getting throttled by the 1 seed and you barely beat, you needed a miraculous comeback in the 7th game to beat the 8 seed. So we're much closer to 8th. We're probably the 7th best team in the East. And if people think that that's good enough and just changing the coach is going to magically fix all that, no. And honestly, I can't imagine. I don't really think there's big change coming this offseason. Yes. If you're lucky enough to convince Donovan Mitchell to come back, there's no way Donovan Mitchell's going to come back to this team and say, yeah, we're good enough. Yeah, I think, you know, maybe Evan Mobley can finally develop an outside shot. Maybe Darius Garland won't shrivel up in the playoffs when the lights are the brightest. No, he's seen it for 2 postseasons now. You know, how could he possibly think anything's going to change? He knows it's all on him. I've said it for months now that this is a lot closer to a LeBron James situation where we have one superstar and a bunch of decent players around him. But, you know, that one superstar, he's going to – if he's not Superman, we don't have a chance of winning. And thankfully he's been Superman and we have won. But he's going to have to put up 70 against Boston for us to win consistently.
And what people fail to realize, he's still playing on one leg too. He's still injured. And he's mm-hmm. still doing this. And you know something? You know, like he said out of the press conference coming out, he goes, we're here for more than just one series. He's happy to get out of the first round. Thank God for Donovan Mitchell for what he did. Like, he tried to single-handedly win that in game 6 and just end it right there. But they just hit game 7, and that's how it ends. But, man, Bri, this team is so Jekyll and Hyde, because if they're on shooting-wise, they're lights out. With Strus, with everybody,
but in the playoffs, they're not. Because
I know they're horrible.
They're a good regular season team.
They said today that they are the 2nd worst in 3-point percentage so far in the playoffs. And guess who was below
your boy? Who's that? The Magic?
Pelicans.
Oh, your boy Niang's in now. What? Oh. So have you heard his nickname?
It's got to be Tubby Thunder or something like it. What's his
name? No, I thought the minivan or something.
Oh, my God, that's great.
That's why I thought I heard that. I don't know if that was maybe somebody doing it off the cuff or that's like a well-known thing. Hey, we're tied up here.
Hey, this is what gets me excited.
With 3 minutes left in the first.
What gets me excited about Niang is anybody can play basketball if Niang can play basketball. I mean, just look at him, Bri. He doesn't really look like a – come on. He looks like the guy that we would go out and drink beer with and then do a pickup game later or play softball with later. Come on. Let's be honest.
He takes dad bod to a whole new level.
Hey, and like, he throws that weight like around.
You think Nikola Jokic has a dad bod until you see Niang, and you're like, oh, okay. Now that's a dad bod right there.
Eric even said one here. He said, do the Cavs win a game this series? I, God, it all depends. I think they had a chance to steal.
I still think so.
I think that would make it a competitive game. I think this goes six games no matter what happens, whether it be the Cavs winning six, because I said Cavs in six. I'm going to be that homer, Brian.
You're going down with that ship.
I'm going to die with that ship. Cavs in six. But I think it'll go six games. It would be nice to see a game seven, taking Boston, one of the top teams, game seven. We'll see what happens.
It's not crazy to think that. I think probably the Celtics. I think I'm going to give the Cavs one, probably game three, maybe game four. But I think they're competitive in one other game. I mean, whether it's the Cavs just really figuring stuff out, or whether it's Boston, like, you know, kind of getting bored. Like, you know, we saw what Boston can do in game one, so they kind of. They're going to start read their press clippings, especially if they win by double digits tonight. And, they might get a little bored. But, you know, they had stuff go right. They had a lot of stuff. This Pritchard dude hitting, you know, half-court shots at the end of the third quarter. He's a chode, dude. I don't know how else to explain it. But, he's not afraid. And there he goes shooting at the end of the three. Well, he missed that one. He's not afraid. And that's what the Cavs need. The Cavs need guys that aren't afraid. Now, I understand it's easier to play in the Boston offense when you have Brown and you have Tatum and you have Porzingis, who's the dude Derek White. So you have all those guys. When you're an ancillary piece to that scoring powerhouse, you don't have to be on. You can take threes and like, well, you know, if I miss it, no big deal. Whereas the Cavs are like, we need every shot to go in. You know, we can't be taking these open shots and missing them. And so they start feeling the pressure. And, well, the Cavs have a 4-point lead now. So
I am jealous that you're watching the games while we're doing this, and I can't watch this right now. Like, this is
a 20-7 run in the last 6 minutes.
This is killing me.
So,
all right, let's get out of the Cavs right now. Let's talk about some guards. All right, so we had some – heartbreaking news happened while we were off in between our shows. Stephen Kwan, hamstring. He is second best batter. I think he's the best American League batter right now. Anyways, batting 360 something. Hamstring, he is going to be out multiple weeks. And they brought up rookie Gavin Strato. So, Bri, the guard's still playing great baseball. I can't believe, like, this is higher than what I thought expectation-wise they would do. And it is crazy, but they are going to need some help with their starting pitching, Bri. They really are. They need somebody to kind of step up because Bybee hasn't been the greatest. Lively's been actually pretty good, but then you got, you know, Bybee, Gavin Williams is gone. You got Tristan out there with half an elbow thrown still, which I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop on that one. Do you think that the guards might, if they're still in this hunt, might go out and try to get a pitcher?
Oh, boy, I haven't even thought. I mean, you're talking at, like, the trade deadline, or you're talking – I heard somebody saying today, like, yeah, it would be nice to get one, but, you know, what pieces do the Guardians really have to give up that other teams are wanting? It doesn't sound much, you know. I'm sure you can always find somebody to trade with you, but I'm not really worried about their starting pitch. I know they're not great, you know. We're used to them being top five in the league, but I worry more about the hitting. That's how I am. You know, we got off to such a hot start, and I thought I heard somebody saying, rattling off the batting averages now and how many guys we have below 200. And that's where my concern lies more than the pitching.
I got you. I mean, do you think they can keep this pace up? And, you know, because right now, whether you like it or not, the AL Central is like the hottest. I mean, you got the Twins, you got the Sox, you got like, it's crazy that we're like the best division in baseball right now with standing wise. It's just, I'm still floored by it. I'm like, shut up. Come on. Not us.
Yeah. And we got, what do we have? The White Sox this weekend. So, you know, hopefully we can add to, I meant to check out the standings and write them down, but do you know, are we in first?
In the division?
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, what's our, do you know, like off the top of your head, what our lead is? Because I know, right.
We got a two-game lead over the Twins. So right now we are 24-13. The Twins are 22-15, two games behind us. The Royals are 22-16, two and a half behind us. Then you have the Tigers at 19-18, and then the White Sox are 9-28.
Right.
But like right now, looking at everything else, you got the Yankees and the Orioles at 25-24 wins. You got the Rangers at 22 wins. So like right now, we're in the top. I mean, the last 10, we're 5-5. We are 12-6 at home and 12-7 away. So, I mean, you can't really complain. I mean, they're winning series, right? I mean, to be that far, the win percentage is 65%. So, like, you know, to be that far above is crazy for us, especially this time of year, because we normally start slow.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't ask for much better of a start. You know, I kind of, because it's such a long season, I kind of pick and choose when I pay more attention to the Guardians. And so usually if I know they have a series coming up against a strong team, I'll kind of focus in a little more than I will if they're playing, oh, the A's or the Mariners or somebody like that. Like, so I paid attention a lot to the series against the Braves and, you know, also the Astros afterwards, even though the Astros don't have a great record, just knowing their history the last few years. And so it was a little disappointing getting 2 of 3 or getting only 1 of 3 in those series. But the Braves series, I mean, they were in every single game and they could have won it. So, I mean, that's the measuring stick to me. Obviously your record matters. But but to me, like, how do you match up when you go head to head with these teams that people are picking to win the conference or to win the division or the league? That's kind of when I pay a little more attention to it. Kind of like same thing in basketball. You know, when we're playing the Celtics, I pay attention a little more because I know that's the hurdle that you have to clear. So where do we match up? If they're just blowing you out, then that kind of throws some water on my expectations a little bit. But I couldn't have asked for any more. You know me, I was kind of cautiously optimistic going into this year, and they've blown away everything that I could have asked for through the first couple months. That's the nice thing about baseball. I feel like baseball is a sport where, you know, basketball, football, you pretty much know the teams are going to be good year in and year out before the season even starts. Baseball, it seems kind of like a crapshoot at times. Like, who would have predicted the Guardians to go on the run 2 years ago that they did? Who would have predicted them to do this? And same thing can be said for the whole AL Central this year. Who would have predicted the teams to start off this hot? So, I mean, it's kind of a breath of fresh air. So that's one thing that baseball does have going for them is the lack of predictability that these other sports have. And so it makes the regular season a little more fun, even if it is 6 months long or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm enjoying the ride right now because, like I said, last year was, you know, we went, 76 wins. Year before was 88 or something like that. I wasn't expecting a whole lot, but I mean, if this team keeps playing the way they do, Bri, I mean, postseason's in our future. And, you know, just to get to the postseason in baseball, that's saying something, especially the way it is now, and especially the way this division's going. So I just say keep it up, and just, hey, the great thing is they're actually playing baseball. And the one thing I heard today, and I can't remember who, I think it was Terry Pluto that said it today. said this team, it's an actual team. Like, they're just playing for each other. Like, they were so close-knit, so together, so happy for each other, like, it, you know, on hits and everything else, that there's just this group vibe with them that is like, all right, well, sorry, guy. I got you. No worries. You missed it? I got your back. I got another one. Like, they're just so together that it's going to be fun to see this team down the stretch, and I can't wait. I mean, we're not even into June yet, and right now it's Guardians baseball is on fire, and I just loving every minute of it, Bri, because, hey, when they're good, summertime feels a lot better. All right, sure. Buddy, you ready to get into Fat Boy Thursday?
Yes, sir.
Let's move this right along.
Time for Fat Boy Thursday.
So, Bri, I put out the question, and I put out polls everywhere. Bri, I wanted to know, what is the best Dorito? All right. Now, the polls have come in. All right. Now, the poll I had to put, now, these were the three on the poll. It was regular nacho, cool ranch, sweet chili, or other comment. Okay, because there is other ones. So that's what the poll was. Bri, personally, for you, what's your favorite Dorito?
Favorite Dorito, and I don't know if it's much very close, or at least the my pick for number one hasn't changed in a very long time, is Cool Ranch. Cool Ranch Dorito is the best one. Hands down to me.
Really?
I think, although for some reason, I think nacho cheese is maybe is more popular. And I don't know if that's like, now, Cool Ranch Dorito, you're going to need some gum after you eat that. so I don't know. I don't know if that factors into it. Honestly, I think maybe it does. They have parties or something. But yeah, if I have my choice, it's always Cool Ranch over nacho cheese.
So for me personally, now we always get, you know, the just regular nacho or the Cool Ranch because of family. I got to compromise for the family. But if I didn't have to compromise for the family, I would get that spicy sweet chili or the spicier nacho as one of my two favorites. Because did you know they got Flamin' Hot Cool Ranch and nacho now?
I think I've seen that. I'm not a big Flamin' Hot guy, though. I'll eat it, but it, for me, it's not really enjoyable. It's almost too hot.
Now, have you tried their barbecue, have you not?
Oh, for sure. Yes, I believe that's barbecue's bad, up there. Top, I think it's top three. I think if you're asking me my top three, I told you Cool Ranch. I'm with you with the sweet chili, the purple bag, and then barbecue's my other number three.
Now, for years, Bri, this has been my go-to, and I'm going to put you in a little trade secret behind the scenes here, because I don't think you've seen me eat this before, but, like, normally when I go out to grab snacks, all right, and especially if I'm getting, and if it's for me, not the family, for me, I'm either getting that spicy nacho, it's mostly the spicy nacho, and I get the Fritos can of the jalapeno cheddar cheese dip.
Fritos can cheddar. Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? The little baby cans are like this big.
I think I know what you're talking about. Yep.
And that is my go-to. I will sit there and just dunk, eat. I don't know what it is about that cheddar cheese with the nachos, but man, it is so good. And here's Toby. Nom, 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 nom.
Oh, yeah. Cool, I'm getting hungry now.
Cool Ranch is what you feed to meat, chicken fans, people you don't like. Jesus, Justin. Oh my God.
So what about the other one? So you're saying spicy nacho is your number one?
Yes, and followed by sweet chili, and then followed by the regular nacho. Like, the regular nacho and the Cool Ranch are tied because I can eat those whenever, because with the family, they're always here. But the other two, because I don't get them that often, I put those two as my favorite.
Oh, there you go, Darius Garland hitting three. It's about time. So What about the other ones? Sorry, I'll give you whatever updates you want. I'll give them to you. If not, I'll keep my mouth shut. The other ones being these off-the-cuff ones. What am I thinking? Buffalo Ranch?
Hold on. I had them here. Let me – you just fill in right now. Do a little play-by-play. You need to work
So on. I'm thinking Buffalo Ranch was one. I think they've had – I've seen, like, the old-school bags of taco. Come on, George Niang. Wide open right at the bucket. Missing it. The taco ones, I haven't had those, but I can't imagine they're bad. And then the weird ones that they just came out with, like, a couple months ago, they tried. I don't even know if they still have them. The mustard and the ketchup.
Well, they don't. I don't have these on here, but these are from the Doritos homepage right here. All right.
So okay.
We got the Doritos Dynamite Flamin' Hot Queso. You got the Tangy Fiery Lime. Those. Okay. You got the Smoky Chili Queso. The hot honey mustard sticks. Now these are the sticks. These aren't.
They're like hot fries. Have you ever had hot fries?
Oh yeah. So
I think I've had
Doritos Sweet and Tangy Barbecue, the Flamin' Hot Cool Ranch, the Flamin' Hot Nacho flavored, the Flamin' Hot Lemon flavored. You got the Nacho Cheese, the Cool Ranch, the Sweet Spicy Sweet Chili, Spicier Nacho, Salsa Verde. Is one of
them. Oh, yeah. That's good.
Oh, the Simply Organic White Cheddar flavored Doritos. You have the Doritos Flamas, the flavored tortilla chips. You have the Tapatito, the hot sauce. You remember the Tapatito hot sauce?
I don't think I've had those.
You have the original taco flavor, which those are really good.
Yeah.
I use those for my taco salad.
Okay. Be down with that.
Hey, crush it up. Cheap taco salad. That's how I make my taco bowls at home, Bri.
I could. That sounds pretty good.
But right now, like, those are all the ones that are listed here. Man, I got to try some of these, though. They even got the little minis. Dorito minis.
Oh, yeah. Did those come in, like, a Pringles can?
Yeah, but the thing is don't you get that at the bottom of the bag when all the other ones are crushed and you're just shaking it in your face?
Yeah, I've never once bought Doritos Minis or wanted to buy Doritos Minis.
Well, let me go back to our poll, Bri, because our poll, as soon as I bring it back up again, our poll number one was nacho. Just a regular nacho was number one. Number two was the sweet chili. Sweet chili. So regular nacho got 43%. Sweet chili, spicy sweet chili got 32%, cool ranch 21%, and the other comment got 4%.
Okay.
Not bad, right?
I'm a little surprised that maybe I'm the only one that likes the nacho cool ranch. Like, but it's like picking pizza. You know, you like them all.
Yeah, they're all good, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever had a bad one. And Justin, send me Fat Boy.
I think, oh boy, Flamin' Nacho. I don't. Even if somebody offered it to me, I don't think I would really touch the Flamin' Nacho.
Well, Bri, I have to be honest. So my kids are now like they really don't like spicy, but they got on this whole. They wanted the Flamin' Hot Cheetos, and then they started eating them. Bri, I'm not gonna lie. I had some Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Those things are the bomb. Like, they got a lot of kick to them, but they got really good flavor, bud. They really do. Hey, you won't hiccup. You won't hiccup.
So, I'm a guy who likes spicy things. But to me, that's just, to me, I'm like the opposite of you. I think they're too hot, and I think it's all heat. It's all heat. I can't taste anything else. So maybe if I did have these cool ranch Flamin' Hot ones, maybe they would provide a little bit of flavor for me. But yeah, I think
here's what we're going to do. I'm putting you on a mission, Bri. All right, now it depends on Baby Loveless and when Baby Loveless comes.
Sure, I don't know if that'd be great.
All right, but
blowing up the bathroom as soon as she's coming out.
But next week, when we do a show next week, Bri, try to stop and get one of the little goodie bags of the Flamin' Hot Cool Ranch. And we'll try them live on the show and see what you think, all right?
Okay, I'll keep an eye. I don't know if I've ever seen the little bags of them.
Oh, but, you'll find them. Trust me.
I'll keep my eyes peeled. You know, now that I'm looking for something specific, I'll be looking for it.
All right. And if we missed any Dorito flavors or anything like that, hit us up on our YouTube page right there in the comments. Justin's on it right now, Running Ball Man, by the way. If you have not seen his content, some of the funniest stuff I've seen, because he reads some children's books that are, let's just say they should not be children's books. Let's put it that way. The people that wrote those were very, very, yeah. But go check him out, Running Ball Man. And then give us a like, subscribe, and follow here on Illegal Ham in the Face and Network 216, as you can see down here at the bottom. All right, Bri, let's scroll over to our top three, and then we'll close out the show. All right, bud?
Sure.
All right, let's get our top three. Now, I think we've hit on this before in the 4 years that we've done the show, but I wanted to bring it up again because, you know, times change, flavors change, and I wanted to get your top three dog breeds. Mm-hmm. So, Bri, we love dogs. We both have adoptables. We got little mixes of, I got Princess, who is a Beagle Basset mix, I believe. You got Lily, she is a fun ball of Jack Russell and something else, it looks like.
Jack Russell. They told us when we got her, they said Jack Russell and Australian Shepherd. We don't really buy the Australian Shepherd. She's more of a, we think we have an, and apparently you can do like the 23andMe for dogs find out exactly what your dog is.
Oh yeah.
We haven't done that yet, but we're assuming she is like a pointer. Because she's definitely a hunting dog, and her belly, her stature and her belly look like a pointer. And if she sees something in the yard, she'll pull her one paw up and just kind of stare at it. So yeah, that's kind of a dead giveaway.
Yeah, you definitely got pointer in there. So, Bri, do you want me to go first with my top three? You want to give your top three?
Yeah, go for it. No, you go for it.
All right, so number three for me, and I grew up with them, with my mother's side. Hungarian Vizsla, and if you've never seen them, they are a tan dog. They're like a pointer, Bri. They are bird dogs.
Okay.
But they are very hyperactive, but very protective of their family members. But they are, how can I explain it? You've petted a beagle with soft ears. Just picture it to be the size of, what is going on, James? Thank you for joining us tonight.
What's up, James?
Picture a medium-sized dog like a border collie with soft ears, but it's all tan. It's like a golden color.
Short hair?
Short, wiry hair.
Short, wiry hair. Okay. Yeah. Got you about, what, 30, 40 pounds?
Some can get up to 50, but not many because they stay kind of slick. They're very active.
Okay.
Number three for me, if I could ever get one, and I've already told my wife I would want one, Basset Hound. I would love a Basset Hound, and I would love to name it Hammy. Hammy or Bacon, Bri. Either or. It's going to be one of them. All right.
And like that?
Number one for me, and it has been always my dream to have one. I would love to have an English Bulldog, Bri. I would love to have a Bully. I don't know what it is about them. Just the fascination with them. But, I mean, Bri, you and I both love all dogs, so we're not trying to exclude anybody. But that's
I know. This what is I hard. Like.
But I mean, what are your top three?
Man, so growing up, I had a dog. He was a Lhasa Apso, which is like a short little white dog or a small little white dog. And then obviously I had Maggie after that. So growing up, I always had small dogs. And so I kind of lean towards the small dogs, although with Lily, she's kind of a medium-sized dog. So she's kind of changing my way of thinking because I love going on walks with her and stuff around the neighborhood. But my list kind of went back to the small dogs. And so I had a tough time with number three. I went Boston Terrier. Okay. With my number, with my third choice. And then I've always, even before we got Lily, I've always loved Jack Russell Terriers, the little ones. And so that's why she was kind of perfect for us, because I love the Jack Russell. My wife always had bigger dogs. She wanted like a bigger dog that she could roughhouse with and have fun with. So that's why she's kind of perfect for us. So Jack's two, and then still a pug. That pug number one, just
ugly one eye looking this way, just throwing her down the steps,
snorting, slobbering all around the house. It could be pitch black, and you could still hear her wherever she's at. You find her.
Where are you at?
That's exactly what it sounds like. It's adorable after a while. You know, at one point, I think my dad said a face only a mother could love, but he ended up loving it.
What pugs remind me of, and it's almost the same as, oh God, what's the other fuzzy dog with a flat face? It looks like they just went full speed at a concrete wall and just hit it with their nose, and then that's what happened. That's what you ended
up with. Oh yeah, no snout at all. And
the eyes bugged out all at the same time.
Yeah. Usually, you know, you hear when we got her from my grandparents' neighbors who had retired and were going to do a bunch of traveling, just didn't have time for dogs. So we got her when she was like 3 years old. When we first got her, people were saying like, you know, careful with pugs because they have respiratory issues and stuff like that, as you can hear. But she lived to be 15 years old. She lived a good life. So.
Heck yeah, no she was, especially with Big Bri dropping Doritos and everything else around her. Hell yeah, she was a cleanup mode.
Right.
You're probably like, come on, Maggie, get it.
Oh yeah. Oh, Lily doesn't even ask for permission. She just jumps up and starts cleaning. Yep. All right. Are you done eating? All right. Cleanup crew. Here we go.
Oh, I love it.
Drives my wife nuts.
Are we at halftime yet?
3:25 left. Cavs down 4.
All right. Hey, it's a good game then, right?
It's a game of runs. You know, okay. We go on a big run, then they go on a big run, then we go on a big run. Caris LeVert is he might have 15 points already. He's playing really well.
I called it, Bri. I think that's the man that's going to change this game.
We need him. We need to score.
He's a Michigan man, but I still have to say.
Hey. We got the right Michigan man. Franz Wagner was terrible in game 7. Darius, wide open 3, missed it. Wide open 3. Franz Wagner in game 7 was terrible.
Didn't Mo Wagner go there too?
Mo Wagner was on their he was on the team that went to the national championship game a couple years ago. Mo was.
Well, you know, I can't thank them enough for sitting on their ass now watching the second round of the Eastern Conference, sons of bitches.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hey. I didn't like them either. It's not like I was rooting. Oh, this guy's went to Michigan. Let me root for them. Uh-uh. When Franz is taunting the crowd, I'm like, knock this dude on his butt.
All right, Bri. Let's close out the show. Let's do our trivia. Answer to the trivia. Give me that trivia question again, bud.
Okay. So, LeBron leads the Cavs and games played at 8:49. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for the guy who's second and the active player in the top 5.
All right. So bonus points. Tristan Thompson.
Yep. Tristan Thompson is 4th. I think maybe
so. Fifth. He's in the top 4th. 5.
He's the active player. Yep.
Now, is it this era, Bri, or is it an era before us?
Yep. This era.
Number 2 is this era.
You got it.
Really?
All these guys. So I got 6 names here. I got the top 6. All the top 6 guys, you've heard of all of them. You know, if I said their name, you'd be like, yep, that's Cavs player.
So Garland?
Nope. So I don't know what you mean by this era. No,
like
I mean
this era of the Cavs.
Tristan Thompson is the only active player on this list.
Okay, so
but the guy who's second has been in your lifetime, if that's what you're thinking.
It's got to be either Brad Doherty or Mark Price.
No, neither one of them.
Shut up. All right. Damn you.
One of their teammates is in the top five, but he's not two.
All right. Give me number two. Who's number two?
Number two is Big Z.
Shut up, Zadrunas.
Yeah. Can you believe that with all his.
I thought he was injured for like 7 years. I
know. His foot injury problems at the beginning of his career. You know, you would think that that maybe he didn't play a ton of games. So Z's two.
Uh-huh.
Danny Ferry is three.
Duh. Okay.
Bingo Smith is four. Tristan's five. Hot Rod Williams, my guy, is six. 661, and then Austin Carr, 635.
All right. Well, Brian, that was a great trivia, bud. You're going to love the one I have for you next week, buddy. That is if Baby Lovis doesn't pop out.
Yeah, give me a – can I make a request? No, I guess not. You already got it. No.
Go ahead and make a request. What do you want?
Basketball or football?
Basketball or football. Gotcha. I can do that.
Or you can give me this one too. You already got one, so
no. It's basketball or football. We're good. I got you one. It's all right. I got a whole week. Got a whole week to plan this.
I like it.
All right. So our trivia is brought to you by City Dogs Cleveland. Please, kennels are full. Please go help, adopt, donate, volunteer, do whatever you can to help out City Dogs Cleveland. They're near and dear to our hearts. They had a good turnout at WJ Lodge there in Maria Bry. Raised a lot of money. There was three or four dogs there. So please go help them out because they get everything by volunteers. All right. Volunteer and donations. They don't take anything publicly. You got to help them out volunteer wise and donation wise. So please go help them out. Brian, on that note, we want to thank our troops, first responders for everything they do so we can do this show. Got to say it's almost halftime now. So let's get a go Cavs and Brian, God bless them.
God bless you. God bless America.
All right. I am that fat guy. We are legal ham to the face. We're definitely uncorked, unloaded. We're out of here. See you guys next week.